This is Jesse Romero, Catholic lay evangelist, on fire evangelization. You're listening to Catholic Vitamin A to Z.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, everyone. It's Deacon Tom, and I'm riding solo for a while. Dee is down at the Phoenix Catholic Women's Conference in the Phoenix Valley. She and a number of women from the parish are at the Xavier College Prep Academy, and they're having a wonderful day. Dee has texted me a couple times. One of the guest speakers is Sister Helena Burns, and she has the wonderful website, which is called Hell Burns. Of all the people who are doing things in new media, she's got to get the award for the most creative. Hell Burns. .blogspot.com. Sister Burns is a member of the Daughters of St. Paul. Our good friend Daniel Bean was the kickoff speaker in the afternoon today, Dee told me, and she sent a picture of Dee and Daniel Bean together, and Daniel Bean sent greetings up to me, so I was glad to hear from both of them. And there's a new name to me, Sister Mary Claire Strasser. I don't know her, but I'm sure that she was going to give a nice talk as well. You may be able to tell from my voice that I'm struggling with a cold, a gift from the East. So let me explain a little bit in the opening monologue about what has been going on with Tom and Dee. If you follow us somewhat regularly, we've been gone for a while, 3 weeks, and we didn't want to say too much before we left, but we were driving cross-country, stopping to visit family in Missouri, Indiana, and Dee's family in Pennsylvania. But the ultimate reason for our trip was to attend the wonderful Mass and final vows for the former Channing Dale. She is now Sister Mary Magdalene of the Divine Heart. And we were blessed to be invited to attend the Mass and the reception held at the monastery in Philadelphia where Sister is now stationed. At one time, she was at Elysburg at the monastery there in Pennsylvania, but they decided to move a few nuns to Philadelphia to try to increase vocations and prayer there. We were able to see and witness the beautiful Latin Mass. It's been a long time since I've attended one of those. Excuse my voice. And afterwards, we were invited into what's called the Speak Room. The Speak Room is a room in which you are separated from a nun that you're visiting, or many of the nuns, if it happened to be that. You are separated by maybe 2 feet or 3 feet. You're not able to reach through or touch the person, but you're able to see them quite well and to talk with them. So we were part of a long reception line. We were up near the beginning of it, so we were blessed to be able to say hi to the former Channing Dale and to talk with her a little bit about her life there. Excuse me. She's very happy. She was joyous, over the top joyous. And so we were there with her mother for a while, and we met some of her other friends and family members. It was a great joy to be with Channing. And then we had the long drive back. And just as we were heading towards the Mass in Philadelphia with Channing, I started coming down with a cold, and I'm still struggling with it, as you can tell now. I'll take a break, try to clear my throat, and we'll do some more prattle. I'll be back in a few moments.
I might have gone to church, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent.
And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass.
When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
Come and see what good things God has waiting for you at CatholicsComeHome.com.
I'm not sure if my voice is going to cooperate. I will do the best that I can. And maybe I'll wait some until Dee gets back and we'll try to work on this together. I mentioned that Danielle Bean was one of the speakers at the Phoenix Catholic Women's Conference. Her website is daniellebean.com. And let's see, I forgot to mention at the opening of the show that our special guest is Steve Ray, a wonderful convert, author, pilgrimage leader. This is episode number 371 for the World Wide Web. 371 shows, wow. And it's show number 17 for our local Catholic radio station, KPIH 98.9 in Payson, Arizona. We're glad that you're with us, and I'm sure that when Dee joins us, this will sound a little bit better. Steve Ray has written a number of books. He's given a number of talks. He's got a lot of CDs and DVDs, and he's given us permission to share a part of his conversion story on Catholic Vitamins, as well as giving us an interview, a short interview to share with you. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And I mentioned the beautiful Latin Mass that we attended in Philadelphia. An auxiliary bishop was the chief celebrant, and there were assistants helping him. So it was a great and beautiful ceremony. And at the end of the Mass, they processed over to the window. I'll use the word communion window. You'll be able to understand that there's a window that they open for the enclosed nuns to receive the sacrament of the Eucharist during the Mass. Well, they opened up that window, and the former Channing Dale was there at the window, and the bishop prayed for her, prayed over the new veil that she was going to be given, and placed the new veil on her. So I was able to see a bit of that. We were a little bit back in the chapel, but I was able to see a little bit of that. I have a beautiful picture that I'm going to put on our Catholic Vitamins face page on our website, which will show Channing Dale standing inside the enclosure after she's received the veil. It's kind of a lovely, haunting picture which demonstrates the beauty of what she's doing with her life. And it also shows the idea of separation from the world. And so I'll put that on our website for sure. We have, as I said, special time with our guest, Steve Ray. And since my voice is giving me a problem, let's go ahead and we'll do the interview with Steve, and then we'll do his part of his conversion story next. I picked up my phone and I heard a voice that sounded familiar, a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins, We're on today, blessed to be with Steve Ray. Welcome back to Catholic Vitamins, Steve Ray.
Well, thank you. I always need my Catholic vitamins, so I'm glad to be partaking of this show.
Amen, amen, amen. Don't we all? Steve, you are very, very well known, and we'll cover some of that through the course of this short interview today. But there are always new people who discover what? Podcasting, they discover Steve Ray, they discover evangelization on the web. Why don't you do a short version of who Steve Ray was as a Protestant and how you became a Catholic?
Well, I'd be very happy to. I normally give this as like an hour or 2 hour talk at conferences, but I'll squeeze it down to about 3 minutes. I was born to a family in Detroit, Michigan. My mom and dad were both basically good American pagans. They had no religious upbringing as they grew up. And in 1953, Billy Graham came to Detroit, and my mom and dad became Christians because of the influence of Billy Graham. And they joined the Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, and they've had 12 years of miscarriages. So they prayed and asked God to give them children now that they found Jesus. I was born a year later. My mom said I was an answer to her prayers after she first became a Christian, but she said that later God misunderstood her prayers when I became a Catholic. But anyway, that's another story. So what happened is my mom and dad raised us to be good Baptist kids, and we loved it. They were great examples of holiness. But as I, in my own life, grew older, I was an evangelical teacher. I was never a pastor, but I did Bible studies in churches. I was an evangelist. We had 50 people every Monday night at our house for Bible studies, and I just loved being an evangelical Protestant, a teacher, and an evangelist. However, as time went on, I realized there was huge problems in Protestantism, and the big questions came, what is true worship? Where's the final authority for a Christian? How many churches did Jesus actually start? And where do we get the Bible? How do we know there are 27 books in the New Testament and not 26 or 28? These things started coming to my mind, and I realized that there was a big problem, many problems with Protestantism, and eventually when I wrestled with those, I ended up discovering the best-kept secret in the whole world, Deacon. I discovered the Catholic Church, which Jesus founded 2,000 years ago. It's still alive and thriving today. It's worldwide, over a billion strong. It's ancient and yet forever young, and my wife and I, in 1994, we joined the Catholic Church with our four kids. There were six of us. Now our family is 25, and we are all love Jesus, and we love the church.
Amen.
That's the short version.
All right. What a great flyover. People will have gone through a Thanksgiving dinner by the time that they hear this podcast. They will have gone through holiday get-togethers, and sometimes the subject of conversion might come up. It might be awkward or whatever. What would you say, how would you explain the cost of your conversion? Was there some problems in your family for a while?
Oh, my goodness, yes, because my wife is the first Catholic in over 400 years in her family. It's a Protestant tradition that stretches back over 400 years that they've kept track of. So her family wouldn't even talk to her for at least a year. My parents, because they had just become Baptist converts, you know, and only a while ago, they were just traumatized by the fact, because I was raised in my family to believe that the Catholic Church was a big cult, that it was the whore of Babylon, and the Pope was the Antichrist, and you couldn't get much worse than the Catholic Church. And now for their son to be joining the Catholic Church, it was a huge scandal. So both sides of our family, when we became Catholic, they pretty much rejected us and wouldn't even talk to us for a year. And we lost every single friend we had within a couple of weeks, because when they found out we were Catholic, they didn't want to argue with me because they knew I was good at explaining, so they didn't even want to debate me. We just lost all of our friends in a couple of weeks, and we had to start all over again. A year or two later, due to certain circumstances, both of our families came back and accepted us, and they never converted. Some have, a few, but not in general. But at least they've accepted our decision to become Catholic. My mom is now 96 years old, and she still calls me and asks me Bible questions and tries and asks me for help in understanding theology and things. So we have a good relationship, but it is very costly for many Protestants to convert to the Catholic Church because family and friends just don't accept that decision that they've made. But in our case, it's worked out well in the long run. And what's beautiful about it is we have four kids now, and we have 15 grandchildren, and all of them, I just give you an example. I just found out last night at my son-in-law and my daughter with their five kids got up at 2:30 in the morning. They drove 20 miles to the church. They spent an hour at Eucharistic Adoration from 3 till 4 in the morning, and then they drove back home and went to bed together.
Oh, my heavens. How beautiful is that? Wow. Great witness and great to hear. Steve, I may have told you in our prior visit that we have a faith group that meets every other week. We meet at a retreat center, and there's 20 to 25 of us that watch videos. We started as a book study group, but we're now watching videos. After a good meal and fellowship, we've done the Footprints of God DVD series, which was absolutely wonderful. That's available on your website. We'll talk about your website a little bit later. What are you doing about helping people to understand the Holy Land, and how would you explain the Footprints of God DVD series?
Well, it started when I became Catholic in 1994. A year later, I took my family to the Holy Land on a pilgrimage with my kids, and they were two teenagers and two younger than teenagers, and it had such a profound impact on their life. My teenage kids started going to daily Mass. They started going to confession every month on their own, and I said, "What in the world happened to you guys?" They said, "Dad, we knew this was all true, but when you took us to the Holy Land and you showed us that, we knew it was true with a capital T. We knew it was really true, and it changed your life." So I said, "Wow, wouldn't that be nice to take everybody?" But then in the year 2000, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I grabbed my wife in the dark, and I shook her awake, and I said, Janet, quick, wake up. We have to make a 10-part video series on the history of salvation from a Catholic perspective. And she's scared. You know, I woke her up out of a sound sleep. She said, "You woke me up to tell me that?" She said, "You're absolutely crazy. Go back to sleep. We can't even take good pictures. How does God expect us to make movies?" Well, she rolled over and went back to sleep that middle of the night. But I got up, and I typed out a whole outline, and it just came to me, Deacon. It was like the Lord infused it into my mind, and I had a 10-part video series: Abraham, Moses, David, and Solomon, the prophets Elijah and Elisha, Mary, Peter, Paul, the apostolic fathers and doctors of the church. 10 parts, a whole span of salvation history. I called Ignatius Press. They said, "Let's do it." And so I got helicopters and I got a filming crew, and we over the last 18 years, we've been working on this series. And by the way, you'll be happy to know, just this year we finished Elijah and Elisha, and that will be out at the first of the year. That'll be our number 9. We just finished it up, and it's ready to go. We just got to get it on DVDs and get it ready to ship. And then 2 years from now, we're going to do the Doctors of the Church. Well, once people saw those movies, that's how it got started. Once people started watching these movies and understanding the Bible and all of these places were real, you know, Nazareth is a real place. It's real, true history. Christianity did not begin with "once upon a time in a land far away," like some kind of fairy tale. No, it's true. These places exist. It really happened. People said, "Steve, you're taking us to all these places in the movie, to Nazareth and Jerusalem and to Rome. Why don't you take us in person?" So I said, "Well, that's a good idea. Let's try it." I put up on my website, "Pilgrimage to the Holy Land." We sold a bus very quick. So next thing they said, "Well, where are you going next?" I said, "Rome, Poland, Ireland, St. Paul cruise to go to all the St. Paul sites, Lourdes and Fatima." So that's how the pilgrimages got started. So there's the short version.
Wow, absolutely wonderful. And we just did a wonderful holy pilgrimage to Fatima, Lourdes, Rome, Assisi, San Giovanni Rotondo. We recommend it as a great Catholic vitamin for anyone's faith. And I'm sure that you'll have information on your website. We'll get to that about how people can find out about what you're doing. As a side note, I think I sent a note to you and said that I've even seen you riding on a camel in the Holy Land.
Done that many times. I one time took a group of people to Sinai. We went all through Egypt and Jordan, and I rented 48 camels and took people all the way to the top of Mount Sinai at midnight.
Oh, my heavens, how beautiful. What other products are available at your website?
Well, on my website, I do a lot of conferences at men's conferences and parish missions. And if people ever want to invite me to do those things, I'm available on my website. So I have a lot of talks, probably 30 or 40. A lot of them are talks on books of the Bible or on Mary, on the papacy, my conversion story, on Islam, all kinds of stuff, family life. I have some talks that are got the story of salvation from Adam and Eve until today, or the day in the life of the Holy Family. We've got a lot of fun talks. So those are there. Also the videos that we have up. But I've also written some books. I wrote my conversion story called Crossing the Tiber. And I wrote a big Gospel of John Bible study book. It's 450 pages on the Gospel of John. And another big book, Defending the Papacy from the First 8 Centuries, and showing how the very first Christians understood and accepted there was only one church, and that the Pope in Rome was the head of the church, and there were bishops and priests and deacons. And so I wrote that book, and then I wrote another one called Faith for Beginners, which goes through the creeds. So we have all of those, plus all of our pilgrimages. I also have a section that is called Resources, where I have hundreds of documents, hundreds of conversion stories that are all free. People can go on there. They can read my debates with Protestant pastors. They can read my defense of the Eucharist and all kinds of things that we have on there.
Oh, wonderful. Just as a personal note for me to you, Steve, I've just ordered a set of, I think it's either 5 or 6 of your favorite talks that are available as a bundle at a good price.
You want
to say what those are?
Yes, one of them is my conversion story. Another one is called Born Again? Faith Alone? What Must a Catholic Do to Be Saved? And what I kind of do there is I put back in my old Protestant shoes, and I debate myself. Steve Ray, the Protestant, is debating Steve Ray, the Catholic, and it's very entertaining. Another one, I do the same thing with the Eucharist. It's called Defending the Eucharist. Then there's a talk in there on Mary. It's called Mary, the Real Girl and the Woman of Mystery. So they're fun talks that I have. There's a set of 5 of them, if I remember right, and I hope you enjoy them.
I will, I'm sure. Absolutely. Okay, you are definitely one of the most active voices in the new evangelization. We have people who come to church. They are faithful to support the church in prayer and perhaps by their donations. But the idea of speaking out evangelizing is, they think, best left to someone else, even though we're encouraged by the most recent 3 popes to evangelize. What would you say to the average person about how they can contribute to the new evangelization?
Well, I understand why people are hesitant, because the world is becoming hostile to Christianity. And to say you're a Catholic in some crowds is to have people look at you like, what, are you a Neanderthal? You still believe that stuff? So I understand people's hesitancy, and a lot of times people don't know how to answer questions. If they start to talk to somebody about Jesus or their Catholic faith, somebody may ask them a question like, how can you prove that the real presence is in the Eucharist? Or how do you know Jesus is God? And all of a sudden the person freezes up and they're afraid to have to answer questions. I understand that, but you know, that's how you learn. You start like a baby learns to crawl, and then he learns to walk, and then he starts to run. You have to start somewhere, being able to talk to people about these things. And one of the things, I'll give you 2 examples. I wear a cross around my neck. It's the San Damiano Francis of Assisi cross.
Mm-hmm.
And almost, I wear it not because I like jewelry. I'm not a jewelry kind of guy. But I wear it because it gets people's attention, and they always say to me, oh, that's beautiful. And I smile and I said, thank you very much. I wear it proudly as a Catholic. And it starts almost 1 or 2 conversations every day. And what happens is I want people to know what I believe and what I know is true. And they start a conversation. And sometimes they'll ask a question you don't know how to answer. Don't worry. Just say, you know, that's a really good question. I've never thought about that. I'm going to look it up and I'll get back with you next week. Very good way. And then what happens is you do your homework, you study, you read a little bit. Oh, my goodness, just come to my website. I've got answers and help for all of this stuff. And then you go back and you sit and talk to them, and you learn from crawling. You get to the point where you can start standing up and walking, and then you can start. This is how we learn. Another thing I would say, one last point on that, is that you don't have to know a lot of theology. You don't have to have half the Bible memorized to talk to someone about the Lord. What we did as evangelical Protestants, we had what we called a testimony. Very simple thing, where you tell somebody, I'm going to testify to you, a testimony of what Jesus means to me. I found Jesus. He saved me from my sins. He brought joy into my life. I love going to the Catholic Church. I feel so good when I come out of confession. I love going to the Mass. The real body and blood of Christ has changed my life. It's the joy of my life. You know, nobody can argue against that. Nobody can argue against love and joy and a testimony. Sometimes that's all we need to do.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Steve, before we get your website and connection information, you have anything scheduled in terms of speaking events, parishes, or conferences you want to let us know about?
Oh, my goodness. I'm leading 10 pilgrimages every year. In fact, this year we have a special one going all through Italy. We're following the saints and shrines of Italy in April. In August, we're going to Ireland, and we're going to follow the whole Catholic heritage of Ireland. In December, we're taking a group to Mexico, and we're going to follow Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we're going to follow actually the history of Christianity, where it began in the Western Hemisphere. And it's much Mexico is such a beautiful country, and it's very safe where we go. And then in November next year, we're doing a St. Paul cruise, where we're going to go on a Mediterranean cruise and follow all the footprints of Paul. We hit 9 biblical sites along the way, and I give talks at all of them. And then on top of that, we have 7 trips going to the Holy Land next year. So we're going to have our hands full next year. We also, I don't remember all the places I'm speaking, but I know I'm speaking at Franciscan University in July and a lot of places. But you can always go to my website. I have a calendar there, steveschedule.com. And I have all that stuff on my website, or people can write to me too, and I'll update them.
All right. So, connectivity information, your website is?
CatholicConvert.com. It's real simple. That's kind of the hub. And when you go to CatholicConvert.com, one word, CatholicConvert.com, you can, from there, there's a menu at the top. You can go to free resources. You can go to my store. You can go to my pilgrimage page. And if you don't have money to go on a pilgrimage, if you go to my pilgrimage page from my website and go to past pilgrimages, I have all of the trips I've done on 90-minute video, so you can actually do a virtual pilgrimage through Lourdes and Fatima, or through Mexico, or through the Holy Land. All of the trips I've done in the last 10 years, I have them up there, and you can watch them day by day on a video, and you can join us on those trips. So there's a lot on my website, CatholicConvert.com.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And before we wrap up, let me just say that I'd like to talk to you a little bit offline, so when I say goodbye, it'll be just for our folks who are listening to our program. You heard on the World Wide Web on the Catholic Vitamins that we also started a Catholic radio station in our community. It's KPIH 98.9, a Catholic broadcast station. We're into our third year, and we're pleased to do some promotion for you there. So we hope that we're sharing, some of your work and your wonderful evangelization. It's a joy to know you, and it's an honor to have you on our show.
Well, thank you very much, Deacon. And let me just take a minute to say thank you for being a deacon and for what you do for the church. I know several good deacons personally who are good friends of mine, and I know the strain it puts on a family sometimes, and wives lose their husbands during the day at times, and all the great things that you as deacons do for our church, and I just want to thank you for being one of those.
All right. God bless you. We'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you.
Inspiring it is to spend time with Steve Ray, Catholic author, speaker, and pilgrimage guide. And I have it on good authority that we could spend some more time with him here in just a few moments. And I also have it on good authority that Dee is finally back. So we'll get to have her join us in our next segment together on Catholic Vitamins. This is Deacon Tom, and next up, after a short musical break, we'll have part of the conversion story, Steve Ray converting from Baptist to Catholic.
Be forgiven, be forgiven, be forgiven of the sin that you hold on. Be forgiven, be forgiven. Jesus died and rose that you might know his love. Be forgiven. Jesus told you he wants your peace. Jesus told you he wants you healed. Jesus lifted up the blind man. He lifted up the dead. He lifted the
woman. tell you my conversion story today. I think I've probably told this story 1,000 times, and I never get tired of telling it. And I've told it in probably 20 countries, and it still, to me, is a marvelous thing that God did in our life, and I never tire of telling the story to people. And I wasn't always a Catholic, but I want to first start out by saying that I am not an anti-Protestant. I want to make it clear from the beginning that I'm not out in a vendetta against Protestantism, even though in this talk I'm going to argue against my past. I'm going to argue against the theology and what I used to believe. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone else. I'm not accusing anyone else. I'm going to tell you what our tradition was and the way I was raised and how I thought about that and how I thought about you. And I do not resent the way I was raised as a Baptist. I still thank my mom and dad for raising me to be a Christian and raising me at Joy Road Baptist Church and Calvary Baptist Church because it had a huge impact on my life. My mom and dad and the Baptist Church taught me to love the Bible, taught me to love Jesus, taught me to be afraid of sin and to want to get to heaven. And it was a great way, I say it was like a great nursemaid to bring me all the way to the Catholic Church when I got older. My mom and dad are still alive. My dad is 91 and my mom is 89. And they just celebrated their 71st wedding anniversary. They're almost ready to celebrate number 72. I told them that we're already preparing the 80th wedding anniversary party for them. But even now, when I see them, I hug them and I thank them for raising me to be a Christian. And they were a model of holiness for me. Even though they argued and fought, they always loved Jesus more than anything else and loved us kids. And every day, they started out the day, the first hour of every day, reading the Bible together and praying. And that's how they started their life, their day, every day. And I remember my father being a great witness. There were times where we went to the ice cream store, to the Dairy Queen, and my dad would buy two Dairy Queens. And I'd say, oh, so you're going to be a pig today, huh? Eating two. Why didn't you just get an extra large one? He says, come with me. We went around to the back of the Dairy Queen, and he had noticed a poor man sitting there on the sidewalk. And he walked up and he sat right on the sidewalk, the dirty sidewalk next to this man, and said, would you like a Dairy Queen? He said, yes, I would. My dad says, here you go. And while you're eating that Dairy Queen, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. This is the kind of parents I had. This was the kind of witness that they gave to me and the way they raised me. And so I have no anger or animosity towards my past. So when I get into the heat of the discussion tonight and I'm talking about Protestantism and I'm talking about my past tradition, I want you to know that it's not that I'm an anti-Protestant, but that I'm explaining to you what I see the differences and why I came into the Catholic Church. So I'll start the story with my mom and dad were both good pagans. They had no religious upbringing at all. My dad was raised with 13 brothers and sisters out on a farm in Illinois, and his dad was a union carpenter and a farmer, and they never went to church. They never prayed together, and it was just they were kind of wild. They didn't get raised. They just got brought up, you know. The jokes around, we were, you know, born in the basement, never brought up. And they were just wild little farm kids. And I have pictures of them. I can't believe it's my dad. You know, they have holes in their pants and their shoes are too small and everything else. And my mom, on the other hand, was in Chicago. She was a city girl, and she was also not raised with any religion. And her parents divorced when she was 3 years old, and she went to 13 different grade schools in the 30s. It was a tough time for her. My mom and dad got married, had two kids, moved to Detroit to work at Ford Motor Company. And then they had 12 years of miscarriages. And my mom wanted more children. She couldn't have them. One day, in 1954, my mom turned on the radio as she was getting ready to go shopping, and she heard Billy Graham on the radio. He was in Detroit. And she heard for the first time in her life that she was a sinner and she was going to go to hell, but that God loved her so much, loved her so much that he sent his son from heaven to die on the cross like this and shed his precious blood for her. And if she would accept Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior and ask him to come into her heart, her sins would be forgiven, she'd be born again, and she'd be saved. My mother had never heard anything like this before, and she's told me many times, she fell on her knees on the floor and started to cry right in the kitchen, now going out to the garage, dropped her keys in her purse, and she knelt there on the ground, and she cried and asked God to forgive her for her sins, and God changed her life. And then my dad was sick. He thought he was dying. He thought he had cancer. So he went outside one night and looked up to the stars and said, if there's a God, I don't even know if there's anybody up there, but if there's a God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to me. I need help. Show yourself to me. He went to bed that night, got up the next morning and went to work at Ford Motor Company in Detroit, Michigan. And a man walked up to my dad and said, Charlie, can I tell you something? And my dad says, yes, what? He said, Charlie, you need Jesus Christ in your life. Can you imagine the next morning? You pray, go to bed, get up and go to work, and a friend you've had there for a long time who's never said anything says, I'm compelled to tell you, you need Jesus Christ in your life. And do you think it was a Catholic? Why do you laugh? It wasn't a Catholic. I wish it was. It was a Baptist. Catholics tend to, I'm not all of them, but Catholics tend to say, well, you know, it's a personal thing. My faith is a personal thing. It's a private matter. It's not something you talk about. You certainly don't go out and tell somebody else they need to do what you're doing. Catholics tend to keep it to themselves. But this Baptist man realized that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a great gift and a treasure, and it's to be given away. It's something that you have to tell other people about. I can't wait till it's that time when Catholics are doing it. And they're doing it more and more all the time, by the way. That's why I wear this cross everywhere. I wear the cross because I can't talk to everybody, but I want to be a witness for Jesus Christ, and I'm a Catholic. I wear it everywhere, even when I go to Israel, where Jews and Muslims would like to spit on this cross. And I wear it everywhere. And I got on a plane the other day, and a young man, 40 years old, sat next to me, and he let me know he was an atheist, but he said, that's a beautiful cross you're wearing. And I said, thank you. I wear it proudly as a Catholic. And he said, do you really believe that? And I said, I believe it enough to die for it. And he said, that's very good. And he turned around and put his headphones on and started looking out the window. 10 minutes into the flight, though, he turned around and he touched me on the shoulder and he said, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, yes. You really believe it, don't you? Yes, I do. He said, would you take a few minutes and explain to me why I should be a Catholic? And he was serious. He said, I would love to believe what you believe. I don't have the faith, but I would love to be able to believe this. Could you help me? And do you think I whispered and said it very quietly? Are you kidding? There were 6 other people up there in first class, and I made sure all of them heard the next 2 hours. And even on the way here, I got on the plane. And another guy says, wow, I got bumped up to first class. I've got over 1,000,000 miles in the last couple of years with Delta, so they give me first class all the time. I don't pay for it. I get it. And he says, I got bumped up here for the first time in my life, first class. And I'm thinking, God brought him up here. Because my wife and I say every morning when we get up, we say that we put our antennas up. And we start saying, who does God want us to talk to today? This is something for Catholics to do. Because I believe that God does something like this. There's a chessboard, a heavenly chessboard, and there are people on that chessboard. And he says, I need this person to talk to Steve Ray. Now, how am I going to get them together? Okay, Steve is going to Minnesota, and this guy is going, but he's in the back. So I'm going to give him an upgrade, and they're going to be together. And then if I blow it, God has to start all over again. So we have our antennas up. Who's God going to send our way to talk to us today? And so when I sit next to someone, even though I want to mind my own business and take a nap, I said, Lord, I'm open if this is a divine appointment that you've set up today. And so the guy says, where are you going? I could have just said, I'm going on business. Good night. I said, I'm going to be giving some talks in Catholic churches, see, because I'm a Catholic convert. And I love to tell people why I left the Baptist church and became a Catholic. Well, that was a little more than he wanted to hear, I think. But his answer was, my father converted to the Catholic Church, and my son-in-law just converted to the Catholic Church. And then he was all questions. He was a Catholic too, but nominal. He goes to Mass, but his son-in-law was an atheist and had married his daughter and had gotten in an argument with someone and ended up becoming a Catholic, and now he teaches RCIA in his parish, and he's all excited and enthusiastic. And this guy and I talked all the way here. And when he got off, he said, I think that God moved me up here on purpose. See, this is what it should be. Catholics should not keep it to themselves. This is a great gift. We are responsible. Oh, a little scary thing I'll tell you. I view the day when I stand before God on the final judgment day, and I come into the great judgment hall, and he said, Steve Ray, step in. You know, then I step up there, and God's there, and he says, let me see if your name is in the book of life. And he opens up this big book, and he looks, okay, R's, R-A-R, oh, yes, there you are. Whew. I'm happy now. Your name is in the book of life. Welcome into the joy of the Lord. And the door opens over here, and I hear beautiful sounds coming out of there I've never heard before, and the smells and fragrances are unbelievable. And these two beautiful creatures come out, and they begin to escort me into this door. And right when I'm going in this door, I see my friend, my neighbor, the person I work with, the guy that I buy groceries from every week, my neighbor who we grill with every once in a while on the 4th of July, the guy who sits next to me at the desk at work. And he comes up. And I said to the angels, wait, that's my friend. I'll see what happens with him. And he comes up and he stands before God, and God calls out his name. And he says, I do not find your name in the book of life. You're not here. And a door opens on this side, and I hear screams and howls of torment, and I smell things that I'd never smelled in my life, obnoxious smells. And then these evil creatures come out with hooks on their wings, and they grab my friend and begin to take him to this door. And while he's going, he looks over and he sees me, and he says, wait a minute, Steve Ray, why are you going in that door and I'm going in this door? And I said, because I was a Christian. I believed in Jesus Christ. I was baptized. I live my life in the heart of the church. I tried to do right before God, and I had faith in him. You knew about all this, and you never told me. We had barbecues together. We worked together every day, and you never told me about this?
Well, Dee, you are back, and I'm so happy you're back. My voice is back a little bit.
And you said you started this podcast while I was at the conference, and it was not a good voice quality?
Oh, I was really struggling, trying to get over a cold, as you know. Picked up as we were back east, and I don't think it was ever the flu, but it certainly was a persistent cold. And I'm just now getting, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for wood to knock on. That's so far. I'm escaping all this.
I know. Oh, I know. Well, how was the conference, the women's conference?
It was good, as it always is, although I thought it was just slightly lacking this year. I don't know why.
Really?
Maybe it's because of my own personal thing. I love hearing, you know, powerful conversion stories, and we didn't seem to have any of that in the talks this year,
even though
all the talks were good, and it was primarily all three speakers talked about women, the blessing of being a woman and being God's women.
Oh, well, wonderful. I know Sister Helena Burns was there. I was making a joke earlier in the show, even though struggling with my voice, I was making a joke about her website, Hell Burns.
Yeah, the person who introduced her made a comment about that.
Yeah.
She's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's funny.
And then Danielle Bean was there. I already mentioned that you sent a picture of you and Danielle smiling together.
She wasn't at her table. She wasn't in the hall when I first got there. But later on, I looked back and saw her at her book table. And I went immediately over and said hi and had somebody standing nearby take our picture so I could send it to you. And
well, I'm glad you did that. And it was good to get it. Now, speaking of God's women and the beauty of being a woman in God's creation, we had a connection that happened through, I forget how it got started. I know it was something that happened online. I reached out to a woman named Megan Schreiber, and Megan has a podcast that she's the co-partner in. It's called Thriving in the Trenches.
I like that.
Yeah, and she says she and her co-host were brought together by the Holy Spirit. They both had a strong conviction to minister to families. And her mission statement, she says, is to encourage women and equip women to uniquely serve Christ in the feminine vocation by embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, and to thrive in the trenches of the domestic churches that we have in the home.
That would kind of gone along with our conference yesterday.
Yeah, really. And, you know, it reminds me, dear, we connected with the former Channing Dale, 5 or 6 years ago, because she was doing a podcast.
Our Catholic Life or The Catholic Life?
Something like that. And we, of course, were doing Catholic Vitamins back then, and we exchanged promotional announcements. I think we interviewed Channing one or two times on Catholic Vitamins. I know she had a great following, and one of our dear listeners, Lisa Kent, in Colorado, had been listening to Channing Dale's podcast and heard about Catholic Vitamins, and that's how we connected. So, you know, it's wonderful that we're able to sort of tie together in the World Wide Web, and we hope that Megan Schreiber and her co-host are blessed with much success, reach a lot of women. Did you want to say something?
Well, just since you mentioned Lisa, and this kind of ties in with the next subject we wanted to talk about our listeners, praying for our listeners. And Lisa is one that we have prayed for many times in the past, and she's so thankful.
She had a health challenge, not anything that I think is hidden knowledge, but she struggled with about a breast cancer. And so she's healthy now and was thanking us for praying for her. If you are a listener to Catholic Vitamins and you're in need of prayers or you know someone that needs prayers, please share that information with us. We promise to pray for you, and we'll share whatever public information you'd like us to share. Dear, I think we're going to take another break. I'm so glad you're back, and we have a couple more things to cover, but when we come back, we'll pick up with Catholic Vitamins.
A recent study was done of teens to see if they could handle being without their screens. The people conducting the study agreed to pull the plug if it got dangerous. The results? Quote, only three reached the end of the experiment. Three had suicidal thoughts, five experienced intense panic attacks, 27 had symptoms like nausea, sweating, dizziness, hot flashes, and abdominal pain. Almost everyone had feelings of fear and anxiety. We've all heard the myth that some people are great multitaskers. Not true. Studies have shown that the more things you do at one time, the more you stink at doing all of them. Our brains only have so much bandwidth. If your attention is drawn to a screen, that means it's being drawn away from life all around you. Here's my screen detox challenge. Unplug it every meal. And every Sunday, you'll survive. If you don't get disciplined about unplugging a little, those screens can go from a blessing to an addiction faster than you can say apple. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Ouch.
Oh.
Chris, well, I liked you. Now I don't. Now I'm mature.
We worked with Chris Stefanik in Denver.
Yes.
At the Steubenville of the Rockies Youth Conference one year. He's a wonderful, wonderful gentleman. Very inspirational.
He's been filming segments for EWTN, and I just recommend anybody go to EWTN and look those up.
You remember what his program is called, right?
Real Life Catholic.
Real Life Catholic, yeah. And he goes to different places around the world.
Right, and they're wonderfully done, yeah. About two episodes ago, I think we were talking about restarting our rosary in the home.
Yes, yes.
And then we heard, I think last episode I read that a message from our friend Sandy G, our correspondent Sandy G, and she said that she was going to start that up, a rosary group in her place where she lives, her apartment building. Well, she wrote back and said six showed up for rosary night. Two were non-Catholic.
Wow. And I, you know, what makes this all the more endearing and warm-hearted is that Sandy G is a person struggling with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and for her to be able to draw people out to do a rosary in the home, so to speak, and a couple of them to be non-Catholic and to come to prayer is just absolutely wonderful. Sandy, we think about you. Go ahead.
I told you that when we went down to the conference yesterday, we always pray the rosary going down.
Yes.
But I didn't have in my car this time that one of the ladies who would normally
get us started
and remind us. And so we ended up going all the way, driving all the way, almost all the way down there. And all of a sudden I remembered we hadn't done the rosary going. So we promised ourselves we'd do it on the way back up.
And you did.
And we did. But when we all met for supper after the conference, before we did start back up, there were two carloads of us. And the lady who normally would ride with me was riding in the other car. And I told her it was her fault that she wasn't in my car to remind us.
Well, listen, the message of giving up your screen brings me to the point.
Can we change the subject?
No, we're not going to change the subject. Brings me to the point that we're at the beginning of Lent. This show will be posted just before the start of Lent on Ash Wednesday, and I hope that any of our people who listen to this show will take advantage of the call to make some change in their life. And I purposely picked the song by Jackie Francois, a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins, Be Forgiven. One of the things to seek during Lent is a deeper sense of repentance for our sins, a deeper sense of conversion to a higher calling. And there are just so many wonderful resources now available on the World Wide Web. I mean, there's daily inspiration that you can get from a number of sources, Real Life Catholic and others. And you could find some wonderful conversion material. We want to promote, once again, Steve Ray and his wonderful site, www.catholicconvert.com. He has CDs, DVDs, just wonderful resources that you might incorporate into your Lenten practice. Dee, we need to do a few things in our own life to try to have a better Lenten journey than we've had in years past. We'll probably want to go to our penance service in the parish. We always have a very lively penance service, lively in terms of the number of participants.
I got a jump start.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I went to confession down at the conference yesterday.
Oh, good, wonderful. How was the priest?
Well, as I was telling you at breakfast this morning, without going into details, he gave me a penance. He was such a nice priest, an older nice priest. He's known about 4 or 5 years older than me. We figured that out.
Uh huh.
But he gave me my penance, and I looked at him. I said, "Is that all you're going to have me do?"
Gosh. D. All right.
Well, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I usually expect to get more than that. So
the penance is a symbolic restitution indication of our sinful.
Well, I like the penance he gave me, but I was just surprised that it was not more than that. So
did he tell you to go get like a Reese's peanut butter cup or something?
No. That would not have been a penance.
No, I know. Well, dear friends, as you can tell, we have prattle at the beginning and we're at prattle at the end. This segment is intended to sort of wrap up this show. What do you have there, Dee?
We got the books. Actually, I was going to draw a name for this one, for this giveaway that we've been promoting, but we were kind of out of sync with being away for a few weeks,
right,
and not podcasting, that I'm just going to run it one more time.
Go ahead. What do you got?
So we got Father Don Calloway's book, Companions of the Rosary. And we got Mother Miriam's CD, Holy Shock. It's her conversion story.
So these are two things that we're offering absolutely free to our listeners. We call this little segment that we do hot off the presses, because often these are new books or new CDs or DVDs.
Right. Sent to us by the publishers.
Yeah. So if you would like either the Father Don Calloway book, Companions of the Rosary, or the Mother Miriam CD, Holy Shock, which tells her conversion story with humor.
Yes, with humor.
With a lot of joy. A former Jewish lady who became a Christian and then who became a Catholic. So if you'd like that, send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And in your subject line, just put Father Calloway's book or Holy Shock.
Right. And then next time we will draw for those.
All right.
Okay. Vita Scrabble for next time. Next vitamin will be Catholic vitamin E. Ends in D. 6 letters.
If you have a guess what that is, send your guess in once again to the same email address. And if we pull your name, if you've guessed correctly, and if we pull your name, we usually send out something very faith substantial and something sometimes sweet.
A sweet treat.
Yep. Well, Deke and Tom and Dee are blessed to be back in the saddle, so to speak. I'm blessed to be getting over my terrible cold, and we thank you for putting up with my voice issues, and we'll try to be a little healthier on the next show. So this is it for this one.
We'll Bye.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.